Well, are you ready for the word this morning? Praise you, Jesus. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. I'm just still being moved by Jana's testimony that a supernatural love for her dad came on her the last week after standing for him for years, and especially over the past 9 months or so. It's been about 9 months that in the last week and a half, supernatural love came on her after standing for all that time. She's broken through a barrier. And God's calling us to break through these barriers of expectation, of low expectation, or non-word expectation. The Bible says, this is not the message, I can't get out of this vein. The Bible says the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Pastor Jonathan Anderson was here a few weeks ago. He taught about victory over death. And I believe God doesn't just want to deliver you out of dead situations. He wants to deliver you from death and fear of death. We've had some threats. But we've been in a church since 2001. We've never lost an active member. Praise God. But I believe God's raising up a church that really, in these end times, will have so much glory on them, death can't visit them. I'm saying that because that seems like as an extreme impossible thing you could believe for, if anything. And beneath that are every other promise of God. And if God's got a time, He's going to have us overcome death. Am I freaking you out this morning? Then every other promise has got to be available to us now. And if the Word says it, believe for it. Well, I've never heard anybody doing that before. Exactly. Somebody's got to break barriers. Amen. I have let yet to eat lose since I've been saved. I have let... My tongue will work this morning. I have yet to ever lose a single family member over the past 31 years that didn't get saved first. I led both my grandmothers to the Lord. Amen. See, I'm standing on what she said because I got something that seemed impossible. That I've been faithful to honor even when they didn't deserve honor. And God's faithful to do His part. I believe that love that came on you is what broke through with Him. I've preached for years, love is the evangelistic anointing. It can't be resisted except by the religious hardheads. And when people experience genuine love, it opens the heart to receive the seed of the Word. The fruit, the animals, when our pear trees would get ripe on the farm, when they were green, our orchard was pretty much barren of foreign visitations, animal visitations. But when the fruit got ripe, everything showed up. Every raccoon, possum, yellow jacket, red wasp. That thing became just full of life because they were there for the fruit. They came for the ripe fruit, but what they got was the seed. The fruit was the lure to get the animals to take the seed and carry it off and sow it later. And that's what love does. It draws in the harvest. And they think they're there for the love. They think they're receiving love. But the seed's what's penetrating and bringing forth new life. And that's what happened. That was the exact example we've taught for years in here. And I'm marking this day. This day is marked with me. That she saw it work in her life. Well, are you in Matthew chapter 16 yet? Matthew chapter 16. Let's go to verse number 19. Jesus says, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And here Jesus says, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Now, as I look out, I believe most of you have been in here for this series in the past, and we won't do a whole lot of time reiterating what we've said in the past. But the kingdom of God works by spiritual laws, just like the natural world works by spiritual laws. If you jump off this building, you're going to go down. You won't go up. Amen? Not without a jetpack that lets you overcome the law of gravity. And the spirit world, the realm of the kingdom of God, operates by laws of the Spirit. Sowing and reaping is a law of the Spirit. Faith is a spiritual law. Amen? And so we've been going through a series looking at different laws of the Spirit, because if you learn the laws of the Spirit, you can produce kingdom results. That's the problem. God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, are God's people destroyed because they don't know the Ten Commandments? Not really. I mean, there's probably one or two people in here that could quote the Ten Commandments. I'm not one of them. I'd have to start trying to pull them up by memory. Let's see. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I'd have to make up half of them. If you read it, I'll know, yeah, that's the Ten Commandments. I can't pull them up by memory. But I don't feel very destroyed because of it. Do you think that you'll be destroyed because, you know, you don't know that Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, or you know how it took place? You're not going to be destroyed because of that. You know what destroys God's people? Not knowing how the kingdom operates. Jesus came not just as Savior. That's the number one thing He came for, to save us. But He came to teach the people, to teach us, how the kingdom of God functions. And He repeatedly, I have people all the time tell me, you say Jesus was God. He always called Himself the Son of Man. Yes! You got it! He repeatedly called Himself the Son of Man, because He wanted to show man what they could do by applying the laws of the kingdom. So He would teach kingdom ways or kingdom principles or kingdom laws, and then He would demonstrate it. Amen. He would teach faith, and then He would demonstrate faith. And if we will learn the laws of the kingdom of God, the spiritual principles, we can overcome the powers of darkness and the powers of death and the powers of defeat. Amen. I mean, Jesus said this, through faith, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Well, that ought to be a clue to us to find out something about faith. That should be a clue to us to find something out about faith and to develop it. Because I like the ability to do the impossible. I like the ability that no circumstance or situation can overcome me, and I have victory over it by the Word. As my eye feels great right now. Praise you, Jesus. God is a faithful God. He's faithful to His Word and faithful to His principles. So Jesus says, I'm giving you these keys, these spiritual principles. He said, and by it, you have now the power to bind and loose all of heaven's supply. So we've been going through a series on these spiritual principles. I'm not even going to read through the list this morning. We've already been through, what, about 40 of them or so? And we've covered it on the messages of the past. If you've not heard these before, you can get some of the past messages and listen to them. Amen, but I want to go straight to this morning's teaching. I believe it's an extremely important teaching for us. Go to James chapter 5. James is right after Hebrews. I was going to say James chapter 5 is right after James chapter 4, but we don't want to be too cavalier this morning. Let's go to verse number 13, James 5:13. Is any among you afflicted or under pressure? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Verse 14, is any sick among you? Anybody here ever been sick? We've all had sickness hit us in the past, right? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now here it says, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Now understand, you have a right. No matter what symptoms hit your body, you have a right to attack it yourself by faith. Right? But the Bible also says, one will put 1,000 to flight, or two will put 10,000 to flight. Right? That the prayer of agreement will produce results. And so there's times you want a prayer of somebody with authority over your life regarding sicknesses, or there potentially can be. And it says, there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church who will anoint him with oil. I want to talk this morning about coming to the elders of the church for healing. So many people, when they get sick, skip church. And I can't think of a more important time to go to church. Well, I just didn't feel good enough to get to church this morning. Well, you know, that's where the feel-good stuff is. I've been preaching, ministering pretty much continually for 23 years. And in 23 years, I've had opportunities to go to church with pain. I'm not even preaching. And I've come to church way back with major headaches, nausea. There was one time after I got back from the Marshall Islands 2007, I'd gotten hit with giardia, which is extreme need to go to the bathroom. And I couldn't get more than 10 minutes from a bathroom. For 11 days, I fought it. And got victory. We were in Hawaii for 4 of those days. You talk about an adventure. And I've stepped behind a pulpit with more symptoms I can think of. And I've never had a symptom stay on my body when I started to preach the word. Never. Every time I'd step behind the pulpit and start to preach, or just step behind, the power of God's healing anointing would come on me and I would be healed. Sometimes a symptom tried to jump on me again after I got out of the pulpit. I had to rebuke it. But there's healing power at the church. There's healing power at the altar, at the pulpit. There's healing power just in the corporate anointing. Is anybody here, I'm just curious, have you ever come to church with any symptoms and just in coming to church, in the praise and worship, and just coming together, you got healed? Look at all the hands. That's because there's a corporate anointing on the church, a covering anointing, that has healing intertwined within it. Amen. And it says, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Now, I believe there's a time you call for the elders when you virtually can't get out of bed, when you virtually, you know, have the inability to get to church. Call us up. You know, when Greta had that stroke here about 5 weeks or so ago, you know, she couldn't get to church. Something about dying in the ambulance keeps you from getting to church. Amen. Maybe that part where she couldn't do anything but blink and squeeze your hand, and that's all. She couldn't even make a facial expression. That might keep you from getting to church. So she blinked and signaled Dina to get a hold of me and Pastor Rebecca. So we met her at the hospital. So what she called for the elders to come and pray for her. Well, guess what? She's in service this morning. Totally healed. Praise God. Not just heal of that, heal of a whole lot more than that. Devil can't take her. Couldn't and can't. And so there's times that you can't get to the church. Or maybe there's times it's not time for church. You know, you get hit with something on a Monday and you need prayer, call us. Now, in Jesus' day, in James' day, when this is written, you ready for a deep scientific revelation? There were no telephones. Let that sink in for a second. There were no phones, no cell phones, no landline phones. So to call for the elders of the church meant that you sent somebody to send a message to the elders. I need prayer. It could be that when they got the message, the elders come to you and pray for you there. It could be that somebody has faith like the centurion did and says, you don't need to come to my house. You speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. Remember that? But the message went out that my servant needs healing. The word came back, he is healed, and he was healed that very same hour. So whether it's a visitation or whether it's a phone call, whether it's a prayer from a distance, there's still the requirement of the sickie to get in touch with the elder. Now, the elder can be the pastors. It could be somebody else that's considered carrying a strong anointing in the church. Are you following me? Healing anointing. But it's the responsibility of the one that's suffering to make contact with the one with authority. I say that because we always have such a problem within Christianity, even in the charismatic realm, that people get offended because they were sick and nobody came to visit them. How many times has this happened? Well, I was sick and nobody called me, nobody came to see about me. Well, did we know? Did you call anybody? No, I didn't call anybody, but nobody came to see me. Let's line these up. The Word says, if you're sick, you take the first step. Now, I believe this is a subset of the principle of the first step. That God expects you to muster up enough faith to call for prayer. You know, when I study the earthly time Jesus was, you know, visiting us, it says everybody that came to him was healed. Multitudes came from all around, and all that came were healed. And you will find very, very few circumstances Jesus went to anybody and sought them out for healing. There was a man at the pool of Bethesda. Jesus was going by and he saw the man and ministered to him, right? Just the one. So apparently he saw something in the man he wanted to minister into. But by and large, of all the multitudes Jesus healed, they all came to him. I believe it's a spiritual principle that if you want healing, release your faith to seek somebody out in authority over your life. Are you following me? Seek somebody out to release that power upon you. Versus just sit at home and say, well, I just don't feel like going to church. Get to church. I don't care if you've got to crawl in the front door, crawl in and let, because see, the more you'll stretch, the more the healing power of God can touch your life. There's something about a faith extension in your life. Something about reaching out and saying, I refuse not to get a hold of what's mine. That really gets God's attention. It really activates the principles of faith. See, faith really doesn't work very well in the realm of low expectancy. In fact, I'll be touching on in this, I'm touching on another spiritual principle that we're going to cover either today or in the next week or two. And James also said that whoever's in fact, turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. But let him ask in faith. Whatever you need to, whatever you want to ask God, ask in faith. Nothing wavering. That word wavering means divided or doubting. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Here we see another aspect of a spiritual principle. That if you're caught up in doubt, if you're caught up in wavering, now understand, anything you're believing for, you'll have doubts hit you. But what are you doing to entertain that? And it says, he that's caught up in doubt. In other words, well, I think I have, well, I don't think I have. I think I have, I don't think I have. That's not being attacked by doubt. That's you're actually entertaining it. It says you're unstable and don't think you're going to receive anything. So if you're at home sick and you think, well, I'd like to go to church, you know, and be healed, but what if it doesn't work? Well, I could go, but, you know, it might hurt me to go. And, you know, I don't want to, I really like this recliner and, you know, and. Well, that's not a whole lot of faith being extended. And he say, but Father, I believe I'm healed. There's not a whole lot of extension into the principles of the Word in that. Y'all got quiet. There's not a whole lot of extension into just sitting at home and skipping church into faith for healing if you're saying, well, I just would feel better here. God, just heal me here. We see zero instances that I know of in the Word of anybody being healed at home while skipping church or skipping the gatherings. Don't have any testimonies of it. Don't have any word of it. But we have numerous ones where they went to the meeting and everything from blind eyes were opened to the dead were raised. Whether they called for the elder or whether they came to the meeting. Now, nobody get mad at me. I'm just trying to help you. Well, I didn't feel like coming to church. I'm not judging anybody. I have nobody in mind. But I didn't feel like coming. Well, that's fine. Keep your symptoms. Stay home. Work through it yourself. It's fine. But there's healing in the church if you'll use your faith to get there. Let me ask for another show of hands. Who here has ever felt really, really bad and you fought every devil in hell to get to church? When you got to church, you were healed? Raise your hand. Do you see that? Here's my hands. And I was the preacher. God loves it when people will step out on His Word. Go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Let's go to verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death, I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her and that she may be healed, and she shall live. Now here's Jesus. He's ministering to these multitudes of people. And Jairus, a leader of the synagogue. You would think a leader in the synagogue could have just sent a message and say, bring him. Right? But he's got a special circumstance. His daughter's dying. He's heard of the healing power of Jesus. And he is stretching into it, personally coming on this visitation and declaring, but falling down. The leader of the synagogue. Do you understand they're the main ones that rose up against Jesus? That would like the head of the atheist organization coming in here and falling down and saying, we recognize you have truth. Let's go ahead and claim it right now. Sounds good, doesn't it? You want to know a good example of that? In the New Testament church, the number one enemy of the church in that day was Saul of Tarsus, who was hailing Christians to be killed, held the coats, gave authority or gave approval to the stoning of Stephen. He was their number one enemy. Who do you think they were praying for? Who do you think the first century church was praying for more than anybody? God, save Paul. Kill him or save him. Isn't that how we pray? Kill him or save him. And a light shines from heaven and gets Paul saved. That's the same type of experience. The leader of the synagogue comes and says, save my daughter. Come and lay hands on her. So what's he doing? He's coming to the chief elder at that day, to Jesus himself, and saying, help us in this situation. Well, in the meantime, let's read on. Verse 24. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Now, thronged, that word there has the implication of pressing and crushing on, even to crush like a grape. Amen. And it says, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and has suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus. She heard. Came in the press behind, and touched his garment. Now, understand, first of all, this woman has an issue of blood. She, according to Jewish law, is declared unclean. She is not allowed to come in contact with anybody as a person with an issue of blood. And here she heard of Jesus. She wants the healing touch she's heard about, but we have a problem. We have Jewish law and tradition standing between her and her source of healing. She not only has that, she has, if they see her, she has a potential of extreme persecution, possibly even death. But she's determined, I'm going to press through and get my healing. And it says, for she said, let me get the right wording. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. That if you look it up, the actual verb tense on where it says she said is in the continuous tense. In other words, she didn't just say it one time, she kept saying. She kept saying to herself, saying it openly, if I can just but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. If I can just get through these people, if I can just touch him, I'll be healed of this issue of blood. She's exhorting herself. She's releasing her faith. And she's declaring determination. So she presses through and touches. Now here's the neat thing. She didn't say, if I can touch him, if I can just touch his garment, if I can just get in contact with anything in contact with him. We had Elaine Homer have us lay stuff out for the anointing when she was here. There's a power in that. And so she says, if I can just but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. And it says, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus knew that virtue went out of him, that anointing had gone forth. She pressed through tradition, opposition, religious mentalities, I'm sure all types of condemnation. And she pressed through and made the touch herself. Jesus was not even aware she was there. I have no reason to believe he did. She was not even aware that she had that need. All he knew is all of a sudden, anointing went forth out of him. And he knew somebody had made a faith demand. And then has her give the testimony. There's something about pressing through that gives you your miracle. Something about making a declaration, I'm not going to be stopped, and you go to the source of the healing anointing. That's why James said, if any's sick, call for the elders. Get to the place the anointing's flowing. Get your faith activated and do what you can do to step into God's provision for healing. And rarely is that sitting at home with your ice pack or your heating pad or, you know, the remote control and, God, I just don't feel like going to church today. You can just heal me here. There's no faith extension on that. Now, I'm not condemning anybody that can't get to church. If you feel so bad and you're dropping, you know, you're losing your cookies every three steps, stay home. You know, here's another excuse people make for that. Well, I don't want anybody to catch it. Well, don't touch anybody. Go sit on a chair over there or something like that. Well, they would know I was sick then. Well, we know you skipped church. Do you know what I delight in, what we delight in? We delight in somebody pressing through. I delight in it. I love to see people. Not that I love to see them sick, but I love to see people in the church that are carrying symptoms and they get in here anyway. You know what happens? It's like I can feel their faith placing a demand on the giftings. And I tell those, I know they're going to get healed. I just know they're going to get healed. Why? They refuse to bow to the pain or the discomfort. Something about pressing through. So James said, if you're sick, you take the first step. We've had people in the hospital. I say we as regarding this ministry. Go to the hospital, get work done and get home, and are upset because nobody came to visit them. Did you call us? Did we know you were there? Well, no, I guess not. Then how could we come and visit you? We are not all-knowing. You know, I'm in my prayer time and I hear, Sister Lulu is fighting symptoms. She's at St. Joe, room 302. If you go, that can happen, but it's exception. You know what is the rule or the norm? When you're at St. Joe's room 302, you get your phone they have right there by your bed and you call the church number and you say, I'm at St. Joe room 302. It makes it so much easier. And we'll come and see you. Amen. Yeah, I'm not casting that one down. Oh, that can't be you, God. And God said it is the person that needs the touch. It's their job to make the call. Now, let's read on through this part with Jairus. Let's skip a few of these verses. Let's go to verse 34. And Jesus said unto the woman, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole, complete, go in peace, and be thou whole of thy plague. Those word whole there are two different words. The first word whole indicates to be complete or finished. It's over. The second is, it indicates to never be sick again. Oh, that's powerful. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? Wow. Now she's died. That'll knock your faith up the side of the head, won't it? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith to the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. He's trying to get a hold of his faith right here. Keep believing. You came and made a demand on me. We had to stop for that testimony, but don't be concerned. You've already made connection. Keep believing what you came for is going to come to pass. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. I'm sure he didn't want the unbelief trailing along. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Now I'll tell you what, that's boldness. It lists in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 spiritual gifts. Right? Tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, gifts of healings, working of miracles, and the gift of faith. The gift of faith is different from your normal faith. When the gift of faith hits somebody, they know it's going to come to pass. I mean, it's not just a faith connection. It's a supernatural impartation of faith. I remember the first time that gift of faith came on me. The first time I really remember it tangibly. This would have been, my goodness, 20 years ago. I'd prayed for many people and seen them healed, but nothing of a major, major level. And I was assistant pastor in Frankfurt, and a girl came up to me at the end of service, and she says, I want you to pray for me. They've just diagnosed me with sugar diabetes. And of course, that was one of those words at the time, diabetes. Nobody gets healed of diabetes, you know. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden, faith just dropped on me. And I knew that I knew she was going to be healed. I knew it. There wasn't any doubt, wasn't any wavering, wasn't any question. I knew she was healed. So I prayed for the power of God. I remember she went, boom, went up back up against the wall. Totally healed of diabetes. Smith Wigglesworth, who raised 23 people from the dead, operated heavily in the gift of faith. I believe it was his uncle that died. And he came in the room where they're all weeping and wailing, and he picks him up and throws him into the wall. Says, you'll live. And he let go of him. He dropped or whatever. I don't know if he picked him up again. He slammed him in the wall. Live! 3 times. And the third time, he just walked away. You don't do that without the gift of faith. That's a gifting. And I don't think Jesus was just making a faith statement, the damsel's not dead, she sleepeth. I believe faith was all over him. That gift was on him. He knew when he went in she was going to be raised. Because it takes that kind of gift and operation to make those type of statements. Amen. Or to spit in the dirt and make clay and put on somebody's eyes. That one takes faith as well. Or else you could be in trouble. Verse 40, and they laughed him to scorn. But when he put them all out, he had to get rid of the unbelief out of the room. He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. They were astonished. With a great astonishment. So here, Jesus raises this 12-year-old girl from the dead. But what allowed this to take place? What was the connection that allowed this to happen? Father sought out Jesus. Had he said, well, God, we just pray you heal her and stay at the house, we would have never heard about her, and she would have died at that point. But he stepped out and sought the chief elder in his day, Jesus. There's a place where we as believers have got to be willing to step beyond comfort, what feels good in faith, for better. Still thinking about putting that bottle up my eye last night. Squeezing that bottle virtually almost as hard as I could, shooting stuff up in my eye. In faith, something was coming out. Amen. Because it wasn't a pleasant experience. I had to go through some discomfort to get comfort. Now, I don't know if it did anything at all, because as soon as I was done, it still felt like it was still messed up. But it was so irritated, I wouldn't know anyway. But I went and prayed in the Spirit, laid back, said, God, we need a miracle. Dissolve it, have it come out, whatever. And by morning, it was gone. Praise the Lord. There was even an instant or two where I felt like it was back in. I had to cast it out. No, it's gone. Faith aggressively goes beyond symptoms. Just like the testimony of, you know, when I got healed of the migraines and I was slamming my head on the dash of the van, declaring I was healed. It didn't feel good. But I was making a faith demand. When God healed my back that time, and for 3 days, I'd listen to tapes and stomp around the room there, collapsed back on his, got up, had a brand new back. Now that's been many years ago, and I can lift anything now. Amen. My back finally matches my guns. Not lifting much with them. Use my legs. Praise you, Jesus. Mike, you and Barry helped me move that ice cream machine. What's that thing weigh? At least 300 pounds. Took three of us to get it down. I put it up there myself. First time I put it up there myself. That's my back. God gave me a brand new back. Amen? How'd you do it? Leverage? And probably the Holy Ghost. Faith will not set back idle. Faith aggressively takes steps to access resolution of its situations. So go back to James chapter 5. I'm going to read through that part again so you can see it again. Let's go to verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Not the church hunted down. Let him call. There's faith. See, faith really believes there's power available. Amen. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now listen, oil is optional. Amen. Oil is a representation of the Holy Spirit. And some people pray they anoint with oil, some people don't. I can do either way. Normally I pray for people, I don't use oil because I don't want to mess up their clothes. I mean, Schaumbach, you go to his meetings, you want healing, you better be ready to be oiled. Of course, he's gone on to be with the Lord now. But he would carry a bucket of oil and dip his hands in oil, and you'd be covered in oil. Don't wear your best outfit. Or make sure you've had it scotch guarded before you get up there or something. Oil is optional. It's a point of contact. Amen? But if you ever come up here and say, I want you to anoint me with oil, we'll get the oil out. Amen. But we've seen as many results with oil or without oil as we have with oil. We find that the power is not in the oil, it's in the faith connection. Amen. So he says, let them anoint of oil in the name of the Lord, the name of Jesus. Look at verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer of faith. Now, I'm about to bust a religious bubble tonight, even a charismatic religious bubble. Is that okay? I love the term the prayer of faith. Prayer prayed in faith. And there's no doubt there is a prayer of faith. But that's not what the Greek says here. It doesn't say the prayer of faith. Not only that, see the word sick? It's the word weary. And what it is, the vow of faith. The vow of faith shall save the weary, which includes sickness. Because there's no doubt he's talking about sickness in the passage. We're not teaching on vowing this morning. But Janie gave a testimony about her dad. And I remember she made a vow for her dad. Something about vowing also intensifies your faith connection. It says vow and decree a thing. Where it says vow and decree a thing. And it should be established unto you. Where it says vow and he will cut off the spirit of the princess. The demonic princess sent to hold you back. So, oh glory to God. You can intensify your faith connection you're making for certain healings or whatever it is by attaching a vow to it. Amen. Because a vow makes a declaration up front, and it doesn't always have to be financially. But it makes a declaration, I am doing this, believing for my manifestation. And we as a ministry have seen so many breakthroughs by vowing. Pastor Chad's parents, their business was struggling. His dad learned the power of vows, started making vows. And they would see breakthroughs every time. I mean vows, and when he didn't have any money, it would stretch them. They'd make vows, and boom, there would be a breakthrough. Isn't that right? Now they just made the biggest vow they'd ever made as a company, if I understand right. Boom! But he's changed his confession to be the largest, most successful flooring company in the world. Glory to God. That's quite a declaration. He's already the most successful in the region. While others are shutting their doors, they're opening new ones. You guys know Pastor Philip Berber, right? At least know who he is. He was one wild person. I mean, Patty was wild, but he was way off the chart. We were wild, but my goodness, at the time he got saved, he was 29 years old. He was dying already from drug and alcohol abuse. I mean, bleeding and everything else. And his wife got saved watching a television evangelist. I believe it was Robert Tilton. Got saved and made a vow for her husband. Now, at the time, Philip at the time was planning on trying to kill her and hide the money and keep all the farm for himself. He hated her. They hated each other. But yet she got saved, had a love for him, and made a vow for him. 3 days later after the vow, Philip was walking through their farmhouse, and an audible voice from heaven said, Philip, you don't need anybody or anything but me. Get on your knees now. And he hit his knees and got saved 3 days later after the vow. So, what amuses me, he was planning to kill Alberta. She made a vow for him to be saved, and actually she's the one that got saved. I find that amusing. You know Mike Huster? A lot of you know Mike and Kathy Huster. they had had four boys, and they couldn't have any more kids. And they really wanted a daughter. I guess four straight boys that stretched them. They wanted a daughter. Couldn't have any more kids. They couldn't get in the family way. So they made a $5,000 vow to Pastor Philip for a daughter. And I think it was something like 9 months later, Julie was born. Amen. Now Julie's on a cruise ship dancing for Jesus. Amen. She works on a cruise ship, the entertainment part of it, sailing all around. So that's been now 19 years ago or so, 20 years ago. Something about the vow attaches a stronger commitment to your declaration of faith. So it says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church who will anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. That's powerful right there. Then he adds to it, and the vow of faith shall save the sick or the weary, and the Lord shall raise him up. Now listen, we're not trying to raise funds here. I'm not telling you to come on a prayer line, you know, you have to bring a vow. Not after that. I don't think you have to. Amen? Has anybody here ever been healed in this church? Has anybody ever been healed without paying a vow for it? So we're not saying you have to do that. I'm talking about there may be circumstances where God puts it on your heart or you really want a major breakthrough and God will have you do that. Amen. The principle being we're talking about this morning, though, is it's up to the one that's sick to make the effort to get in contact with or in connection with the one with the healing power. Amen. The point being is, people come to me all the time and say, well, if you all have all the healing power, why don't you go to the hospital and clean up the hospital? They didn't call me. Why don't you walk down the street and heal everybody on the streets of sick? They didn't ask me. I'm right here. We're known now in the city as the healing church. Is anybody aware of that? We're the church that lays hands on people and people are healed. They know that. Here we are. You get sick enough, maybe you'll come. That's the problem. They wait until they're, you know, got 3 hours live and then they want to come in and say, well, pray for us now. Well, praise God, come on. We'll give it our best shot, but it'd be a whole lot better to come when you've got, you know, something minor. We could develop our faith there and move on. Well, I was sick and you didn't come and see me. Yes, you're right. You didn't call me. Did you get healed? No. Let's put this together. Here we have a spiritual principle. And understand, you don't have to call me to get healed. You can get healed at home. Me personally, I heard Pastor Callahan say this on a message I was listening to the other day. He said he's never received a mercy healing. He's never had anybody pray for him and he was healed. Now, this is years ago. I know he has by now. That it always came by him having to develop his own faith and step into it. That's the way it's been for me. I've almost never had anybody pray for me and get healed. Amen. I had to work my faith for it. Except one time I was dying. This would have been 1992. Bobby Jean Merck was coming to ministry. We just formed as a ministry. And I got hit with an attack that I virtually felt that my body was shutting down. I ended up before service in Pastor Jim's office on the couch speaking against death. The devil told me, you better call an ambulance right now. If you don't, you're going to die right here. I says, if I die right here, I'll die believing God for healing. I'm not bringing an ambulance to Pastor Callahan's church, Bobby Jean speaking. There's no way. I'm healed. I mean, I had that conversation. And I'm new to faith. Fairly new. I'd beaten flu by faith by then. But I'm getting hit. I had a girl look at me that was a nurse say, your color looked like somebody going into diabetic shock. I virtually felt like I was already close to that edge. And Bobby Jean's out there preaching, and somebody comes and sees me and goes and gets Pastor Callahan out of service for me. I mean, Bobby Jean preaching, gets him out of service, brings him back. He goes, I see it. And he laid the hands on it. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you, death, devil, or whatever. He said, now walk it. I jumped up again. I'm walking the floor preaching or proclaiming the word. He said, it's done. He walked, went back out in the meeting. And about 15 minutes later, so did I. Healed. I didn't feel any bit better when they laid hands on me, but within 15 minutes, it was gone. Had me go ahead and give the testimony. Something about somebody making a faith connection with the elders to see the devil's power destroyed. And to stay home when you could actually make it. Can I say this? Nobody get offended at me. To stay home feeling bad when you could make it. I mean, most of us can make it. Means you don't believe this passage. Means you're wavering on the promise. Well, it's never happened before. Make a faith connection and cause it to happen now. It'd be better to get to church and lose your cookies here, believe it, and we'll clean it up. We've got a carpet shampooer. I'll get, you know, Patty or somebody to clean it up. Better to lose your cookies here believing God for healing than to stay home just letting it have its way. And faith worketh. Praise God. Faith worketh. Verse 16, let's go there. Well, let's back up to verse 15. And the vow of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. There's another reason people don't come. Well, maybe God put this on me because I did this or that, or I failed it here or there. Or, you know, maybe I'm not good enough for God to heal me. Here God adds forgiveness of sin to this promise. Just come. God says, we'll deal not just the sickness problem, we'll deal with any sin issues as well. We'll just let the blood wash it all away. The cross take it all away. So don't let condemnation keep you from coming. One of the enemy's greatest attacks against us receiving healing is condemnation. Because they'll say, first of all, you deserve this. You knew not to eat that second bowl of ice cream, and now you've got tuberculosis because you ate that second bowl of ice cream. You knew you shouldn't have eaten, you know, so many Milky Way bars, and so, you know, you've got this illness, this sickness, the flu came on you because your immune system was low, because you ate too much sugar, whatever it might be. Shut up, devil. God's bigger than my mistakes. And healing is a promise. Can doing stupid things with your diet and actions cause sickness to come on you? Yes, and apparently grinding rusty bolts, the rust off of rusty bolts, can get stuff in your eye. But God's bigger than that. He's bigger than our mistakes. So here James letting us know, don't let your mistakes keep you from the healing power of God. Just come and confess it, repent from it, and God will heal you. God's not looking for your perfection to heal you. He's looking for your faith. And he gives this declaration about our sins will be forgiven to help our faith. To remove the condemnation. Verse 16. Confess your faults or errors one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, we're running out of time. This is a whole other teaching. There's some people have a doctrine that if you want to get healed, you've got to confess all your faults to somebody else to access it. That's not what this is talking about. Amen? This is talking about if there's things are error in your life, clear it up. Take care of it. But guess what? I'm not asking you in a prayer line, what did you do? Confess it all right now. Confess it right now and we'll get you healed. We're not doing that. Amen? This is talking about trying to get stuff in your life dealt with in a proper fashion. So there's a place where maybe you find somebody you trust to confess your faults to. The point is, don't be confessing all your faults to everybody else in the church. Did you hear about that prayer meeting where they saw this verse and they started confessing their faults? And this one woman said, it was a ladies' prayer group, I just feel like I need to confess my faults. And so I've actually been embezzling some money from the treasury at work and buying myself some nice things. And I just want to confess those things right now to you as, you know, my prayer partners, you know, that God forgive me all of that. So another woman says, well, you know, you sparked my desire to confess my faults. And I've actually been having an affair with, you know, the milkman. And do we still have milkman, mailman, whatever? Been having this affair, and it's been going for 2 years. And I just want to confess to you, you guys, this fault. And the third woman says, you know, now I feel like I need to confess. And I feel like saying I'm really a man, but we won't go there. And so they confess that, you know, they're hooked on painkillers, and they've been stealing prescriptions to get painkillers and such. And the fourth woman says, you know, you guys really spurned me as well to confess my faults. Mine is I've always been an extreme gossip, and I can't wait to get out of here. An old joke, amen? But you got to be careful who you confess to. Find somebody, it's a covenant person if there's something you need to confess to. And the majority of it, just take it to God.
Amen.
I think you'd find somebody to confess to if there's something you want agreement with or to help get victory over in that situation. Not every bad thing you've ever done. Amen. Please don't come and tell me you've been embezzling from work. And hallelujah. And pray for one another that you may be healed. There's a place we pray for each other. God's healing power will flow through that. Well, it's a faith connection. It's a prayer of agreement and a faith connection. The energized or effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And also, if you want to walk in healing power, I believe there's a necessity. You guard your righteousness. You find out who you are and you guard it and you walk in it. Amen. Have you got anything out of this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Aaron, would you bring your worship team up? Let's worship God for just a minute.